The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Terrible Gamers. I'm your host Colin, here with Ashton.
Hey guys.
Sorry for the 2 week hiatus. We initially planned for a week, then a week turned into 2 weeks because we just had our vacations at different times. But anyways, we got a new slate of topics going on. A lot of happened in the gaming world while we was gone, so we're going to go ahead and get into it. Atari reveals a new handheld system.
Okay. Here's basically the summary of the article I had, and then it goes on in further detail. So it says Atari has re-revealed the handheld device it announced last year and then didn't follow up on. It's now called the GameStation Go, and more details about it will be revealed at CES next week, which has already happened. We already know that the Go will have a trackball, keypad, and paddle for ultimate retro gaming experience. And then just this actual, that was the summary, so just the actual article. It says we already got one. It says it's not just the one you were expecting. It's exciting nonetheless, as Atari has redeclared an intention to give us something to play retro games with on the go this year, sharing a sneak peek at its upcoming GameStation Pro and promising further details later on this year. It says that, let's see. While what games will be playable on the GameStation Go and how they will look hasn't been shared in the trailer, what the console will look like and the controls you'll be using to play its game has been shown in detail. The GameStation Go appears to be a hybrid of modern-day handhelds, with the controls needed to play some of the arcade classics I imagine will be either built-in or available to buy for the device. So, I mean, Atari announcing a handheld, that's cool. So probably have like Pong and stuff like that.
Yeah. I know during the actual ad itself, it showed Breakout.
Pong, Breakout, maybe some Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be $150 price with tag on it. I think it's already available for pre-order at time of recording, and I believe it releases in October, if I'm not mistaken.
My article does not say.
And it's going to have a 16:9 for the specs, the visual aspect of it, and that's, it's going to be 1080p sure, when connected to the TV.
Pretty good graphics for such old games.
Say, I don't know why you would need 1080p for, you know, something that old, but because I believe it's the 2600 games and the 7800 games.
Yeah, whatever, I guess.
I like the fact that they done the two separate controllers for each system, though.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because I'm assuming it is going to be based on which one you're playing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing Breakout, I think you're just going to be able to use the stick part of it, but if you play any other game like Galactica or something like that, it may be the analog stick. Not, yeah, analog.
So, D-pads. This, I mean, to me, this is geared more toward the older gaming generation, because I doubt any of the young kids would even care to play Atari games. And me personally, I wouldn't pick it up because, yeah, I enjoyed some of those games when I was younger, maybe because, you know, we had some of those little handheld things you plug into the TV back in the day with the component cables, and you know, was able to play Pac-Man and different Atari games.
Yeah.
But now I probably wouldn't play Atari games.
I think I'll pick it up just for the simplicity's sake, like trying to teach my kids to play games with it, and it's easier with the less buttons and everything that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
So I may do a situation like that, because you think if you're playing Pong, it's literally just a stick. While you're playing Galactica, it's a stick and a button.
Yeah.
So it's just literally, instead of handing them a Xbox controller and having to figure out which interface does what and have to explain all that stuff, it's literally, boom, there it is.
Yeah, I could see that too.
You just got to figure out if you're stick or D-pad. Yeah. For that game specifically. Speaking of Xbox controllers, oh, you got something else?
Good.
Speaking of Xbox controllers, they decided to partner. It's a third party situation, but they released their own version of DualSense, or are releasing their own version of DualSense.
Yeah, it's made by Hyperkin, which is known for making third-party controllers for different companies. But it says Xbox Now has a PS5-inspired controller from Hyperkin, offering Xbox users a chance to try PlayStation design philosophy. Hyperkin's competitor GamePad mimics the PS5 DualSense controller, featuring a PS5-style D-pad and sticks in classic PlayStation format. Microsoft and Sony continue to buy for industry dominance, with Microsoft likely focusing on pushing performance in future Xbox consoles. And then it just says debates about what controller is best have been held for decades at this point, but both Microsoft and Sony seem to have struck gold. We're rusty. You know, it's been a couple weeks with their most recent crop of gamepads. However, with this new DualSense-esque controller, Xbox fans have a chance to see what all the hype is about when it comes to PlayStation. And then it goes on about Microsoft's history. Back in 2001, they released the first Xbox, and they've been doing the symmetrical sticks from the beginning. But I mean, that's fine. You know, we've seen these kinds of knockoff controllers, so to say, in the past to mimic each console. Like, I remember Carter had Black Ops 2 for the PlayStation 3. He had a PlayStation controller that had the, you know, the diagonal sticks like the Xbox controller. So it was more familiar because he played, you know, on the 360 more. So then he got a PS3. So it was just easier for him to use this type of sticks. He's already used to Xbox. But like me and you, when you're younger, we played pretty much all consoles. You know, we played PlayStation 2, so he's used to that controller. He played GameCube, used to that controller, and other consoles too. But now, playing on a PlayStation controller just feels weird. Because, you know, Xbox and Nintendo have gone to the diagonal sticks. You know, so the only one that's doing the two on the bottom is Sony.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm not understanding, because they could still accomplish the DualSense technology with a diagonal controller. They didn't need to necessarily make it symmetrical.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, so I'm going to ask you this. I know you just said it was a little weird, but since you got a DualSense controller to play, you know, PlayStation games on your PC, is it different after playing Xbox for so long, like controller wise? Diagonal just symmetrical?
Does it feel different?
Yeah.
Yeah. It does. Like, you automatically, when you say, I have my Switch Pro here, it's like an, you know, Xbox controller. You held a Switch Pro. You pick it up, your thumbs automatically go to the sticks, right? Usually. As soon as you pick it up, that's first place your fingers go is the sticks. So, top left, bottom right. When I pick up a DualSense controller, my fingers automatically go to where the stick would be on the left, which is where the D-pad is.
Yeah.
And then my bottom right's on the stick, where the stick is on the DualSense. So it's just weird picking up a controller and your both fingers not being on sticks, where you're used to them being. Now, the PlayStation controller doesn't take much to get used to, because for one, like I said, we played it with the PS2, and even I played some on the PS3 back in the day. So at one point I was used to the PlayStation controller, so it doesn't take long. And then plus the DualSense controller is comfortable, and it's cool to feel the adaptive triggers and stuff like that. So it is easy to get used to. It's just not what I'm completely used to.
Now, being Xbox and third party, I just imagine how roughly you play Call of Duty with a DualSense.
Some people die by DualSense, die by PlayStation controllers. That's all they play with. Even Call of Duty included, that's all they play with. So it's just what you're used to. Some of the best players in the world to play on controller play with a DualSense. Some play with Xbox. I play Call of Duty with a Switch Pro controller. So, you know, I'm sure that's definitely heavily looked down upon, but that's what I use. So, yeah. And I do good with it. You know, I do fine with it. So it's just whatever you're used to, whatever. To me, the Switch Pro controller is the second most comfortable controller ever made behind the GameCube controller. So that's just what I use. Yeah, it might be a little rough to get used to. I mean, probably might work out good. But to me, the Xbox controller, the sticks are too tall. Like, I know we played on Xbox for years, but after picking up a Switch Pro and then going back to Xbox, the sticks are too tall for my liking. So I like the Switch Pro. It's perfect for my hands.
I never really paid that big notice to it. So I know during the DualShock era, like how you were talking about having the side-by-side, I don't know how many times I caught myself in like different games using the D-pad and just playing with the D-pad just because it was so used, especially once I played for 360 for a bit, then went back to the PlayStation 2.
And back then, most games, you could either use the stick or the D-pad to move around or whatever you need to do. Now, D-pads. You have to use the stick, and the D-pad used for something completely different.
Like inventory items and stuff like that.
Yeah. To me, though, like going back to you said playing Call of Duty on DualSense, I know you play keyboard and mouse now, but back when you played on controller, and you've played controller some, using your score streaks, you use the D-pad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine using your score streaks on a PlayStation controller? That'd just be weird because you're used to going down to your D-pad to use your score streaks. Now you just... where the stick would be. It's just, I don't understand how people play like that.
Oh, when I get score streaks, because I never claim to be a good gamer.
I'm not good either. It's just, sometimes you can get the easy score streaks, like the Vision Pulse or whatever the crap is, the easiest one.
All right. Next gen Xbox supposedly leaked, which I would take as with a major grain of salt.
Yeah, I got quite a bit for this one. But first off, it says, what is the name of the next Xbox console? And it goes on to say, there is no official name for the Xbox next-gen console. As things stand, these kinds of details are usually revealed much closer to launch, so we wouldn't expect to learn of the name until around a year prior to its release. But it also says, you may have seen something floating around suggesting Xbox Prime is the name of the new Xbox console. But this is just an unverified rumor, and it could even be referring to a code name rather than an actual final name. So maybe just a development name. So like the GameCube was codenamed Dolphin while it was in development, and then released as GameCube. So it could be that. Me personally, if that's the final name, I don't care much for it. It doesn't have a good ring to it, in my opinion. It says, what has Xbox said about a new console so far? The most exciting thing that we've heard from Microsoft about the next-gen Xbox console is that the company is focused on delivering the biggest technological leap ever in a generation. With its future hardware, this might be referring to plans for an Xbox handheld as well, but clearly there's a lot of ambition going into the next console too. There's a quote. It says, we're also invested in the next-generation roadmap. And what we're really focused on is delivering the largest technical leap you'll ever have seen in the hardware generation, which makes it better for players and better for creators and the visions that they're building. Back in August of 2024, Xbox was notably hiring engineers to define the future of graphics and game development, which could be related to the next console. And it says, will we get a 2025 release date for the next Xbox console? It seems very unlikely that Xbox will release a new console in 2025. Some rumors have suggested that 2026 is a possibility, though. While others have put their predictions further out, somewhere in 2027, 28, or even later. Let's see. Okay. And then, so, just my opinions on what I just read. The rumors about the next Xbox console being the next biggest technical leap we've ever seen. To me, I mean, the Series X specifically is just basically a PC tower, pretty much a weak PC tower, you know, a weaker end. So it's still, they still play most games at 60 frames per second. To me, the next generation, if it doesn't play a consistent 120 for every game, it's kind of a bust for the next biggest technological leap that we've ever seen. If it has to play 120 frames consistently for games. None of the 60, none dipping down to 30 or anything. Because some games play at 30 on the Xbox Series, which is ridiculous. But
yeah,
I think 120 flat, 4K, out of the box minimum. If you're going to claim of these technological leaps, 4K, not everybody has 4K TVs, not everybody has 4K monitors, but if they do, they'll see it. If they don't, they'll see 1080p or whatever they got. But it still needs to be having that capability out of the box, in my opinion. And about the release date, in my opinion, I think it'll be 2027. I don't know that for sure, but that's just my opinion.
Standard 7-year release window.
Yeah. You can give your opinions.
Yeah. I was just saying, I think the rumors are more based on just trying to take some of the light away from Nintendo with it. Because Nintendo is going to be this year. No matter what, Nintendo's happening this year.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called, whatever it may be. I think different people are just going through and being like, oh yeah, right here's the thing. And as far as Xbox Prime goes, I think it is just a code name for it. I don't think it's going to wind up being the final thing.
Do you like the name?
I mean, I wouldn't care for it. It's better than number-based, I guess. Which, I guess, at this point, it would be kind of weird to have it not number-based.
Yeah.
Like, I prefer 720 over top of Prime, I guess.
Xbox One should have been 720. That's what everybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Back in middle school when it was rumored.
And then now they got numbers and letters, so it may as well just be an algebra equation.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's, I mean, I say 2027, it'll be the 7-year window. If they'd done anything sooner, it would be kind of purposeless, unless they're trying to talk about the handheld. As
okay,
possibly
yeah, out. That's what I was about to say. I think the handheld might come out in 2026. But not a next generation console.
I know we mentioned a handheld about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then that could be accurate and probably be the name of it.
I would accept that for a handheld.
So yeah, it could be, I mean, this could be legit if that's the case, if you're thinking of handheld, but not. Well, next home console. They're saying that it's going to be leaps and bounds above every, unless it's going to be the best handheld ever made. Which, that'd be a lot of stiff competition even there.
Yeah, but you think of,
you're just not competing against PlayStation and Nintendo. You're competing against actual PCs.
That's true, and PC companies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, who would know the market better than the
Windows?
We're going to say Microsoft, who creates the operating system that runs on those PCs. So, you know, they kind of have somewhat the upper hand at that point, because they know how to optimize their operating system better than anybody. So, yeah. I mean, it could be better than any other. And they can get their hands on some powerful chips or even make their own chips. I mean, they make their own Xbox chips and stuff. So, I mean, it could be the most powerful handheld we've ever seen.
Imagine a 4K handheld.
That'd be all right.
Granted, I say it would probably be as expensive as every major one out there, $700-$800 on the cheap end.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To me, if it's an Xbox brand, it needs to be under $1,000. If it's a Windows brand or a Microsoft brand, I could see it over $1,000. But if it's Xbox brand, gaming brand, it needs to be under $1,000.
And it needs to come with a year of Game Pass for free.
Yeah. Like, my Ally came with 3 months. So, if that came with 3 months, then an actual Xbox handheld should come with 1 year.
Yeah.
Of Ultimate, not Standard or Core, Ultimate.
Give you a slap to the face like they used to in the day. Be like, oh, yeah, well, here's a 14-day free trial.
Yeah. Xbox Live Gold. Yeah, thanks, Microsoft. Billion-dollar company. You can't give us at least a month?
14 days, that's it.
Yeah.
You buy Gears of War, you can get a week.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Crap. At least they're getting better, I guess, offering longer time periods, but... And again, stuff is a lot more expensive than what it was then, too.
That's true. To me, I think this is their last... This will be their last home console. They might stick with the handheld market after that, but to me, it's their last handheld... I mean, their last home console because... They're more focused on Game Pass. They make more money from Game Pass. They're always losing to Sony and Nintendo when it comes to sales of their console. So, to me, their main focus should be their handheld, because that's obviously going to have Game Pass out of the gate. You can download them natively, whatever. And then also, their focus should be getting Game Pass on Nintendo and Sony consoles, too.
That may be possible, but I don't think we'll get that topic today. Not with about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
All right. Lego collabs with Nintendo.
Yep, it says, while we're all waiting for the official news about the Switch 2, Nintendo has gone ahead and announced a very different kind of console. The company is teasing a collaboration with Lego that will see the original gray brick known as a Game Boy rendered in Lego blocks. The Game Boy DMG, the original one. There are no details yet aside from the fact that it'll be out in October, but it's likely an official reveal is coming soon. This isn't the first collab between the two companies, as there have been a handful of Lego sets based on Nintendo properties along with a blocky rendition of the NES. So that's all I have for that, but I mean, I'd probably buy it, you know, because I have my DMG that I got from my dad up there on the shelf. Can't really see it. It's behind my PlayStation 2, but it's up there, so I keep it on display.
So what I've seen from it is you're going to have the Lego pieces, and then I guess the little port or the screen that you, because obviously I'm going to assume it's emulated. It's not going to be insert a cartridge.
Yeah.
So, what I've seen is supposedly you're going to get that screen and then you're going to be able to build your Game Boy to the specs of it with the blocks.
So, it's actually going to be a working Game Boy.
It's a working Game Boy, but you build it yourself. You're basically building your own Game Boy.
That's cool.
With the screen already there. So, I don't know necessarily how the blocks are going to interact with the screen to be able to play it, if that's the case.
I guess we'll see. And if that's the case, it's going to be expensive as crap. If it was just a replica, then it'd be a little bit cheaper.
I say it'd probably be about $300. I'll say it's about the same price as the Legend of Zelda Lego set.
Yeah, which released recently. I've seen Zeltik's video of him building it.
It's been out for a hot second.
I haven't seen anybody else build it, though.
No, I ain't seen no one else build them, but I know they've been out since October, at least.
I knew it was pre-ordered for a while. I didn't know exactly when it released.
Yeah, because I know whenever I was in Disney, it was released to the public. It was just which stores had it. So I checked the Disney.
It was hard to get, because it was sold out.
Yeah. But it was available to get.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if it's actually a replica or an actual thing you build, we'll find out. We'll keep you up to date on it. I hope it's a thing you build and you actually have to build your own Game Boy.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd suck, though. You drop it, break easy.
It would be, yeah.
You're dropping Game Boy shatters into about 100 different pieces.
You wouldn't be able to stand the destruction that a normal Game Boy could handle.
No, that one was blew up by a grenade or in a fire or something, and it still played games.
That was Nokia before Nokia existed.
Yeah.
All right. Sticking with Nintendo, Pocket Pair launches a game on the Switch despite there being an active lawsuit with the company.
Yeah. I think Pocket Pair's just like, screw you, that's what we feel about your lawsuit. It means nothing to us. Says Pocket Pair released Over Dungeon in the Nintendo eShop in a surprise move. Over Dungeon is a genre-blending action card game with tower defense mechanics. Despite an ongoing lawsuit, Pocket Pair celebrated Over Dungeon's launch with a 50% off sale. Says, I guess the game came out in 2019, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah. No, it was before Power World, way before. It was like the first game, I think, of the company.
Power World's now a year old, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, it says in September 2024, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company sued Pocket Pair over its popular monster taming game, Power World, which we went over. According to the plaintiffs, Power World's Pow Spheres, which work similar to Pokeballs, infringed some of the Pokemon creature capturing system patents. And then it says, despite the lawsuit, Power World released a huge update in December, which spiked its number of concurrent Steam players. Now, on what seems to be another bold move, Pocket Pair has launched another game on the eShop. So, it's not Power World. Power World will probably never go into a Nintendo system, but... No. Which makes no sense, because there's other Pokemon knockoffs on the Switch. Just none of them's been as popular as Power World.
None of them's been as close graphically.
Yeah. But if you play the two games, they're nothing alike. The only thing that comes close to it is Pokemon Legends Arceus. And it's still, you don't have survival base in Arceus. It's just catching the Pokemon.
I think even Tunic is on the eShop, which is blatantly a Zelda ripoff.
Yeah, literally the original Zelda basically is just remade as a fox. Pretty much.
Yeah, that was pretty much just a clickbait one, because it's just like, oh, they're getting sued by them, which I guess to Pocket Pair, that's kind of a power move.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, which, I mean, technically that benefits both companies.
It does.
Because Nintendo's going to obviously charged him whatever percentage to sell the game on their site. But still, it's just like Pocket Pair's like, screw you, I'm gonna put my game on your system, that way you can't really do anything about it if it sells well.
Yeah.
But yeah, which you can go buy it on the eShop if you want to. It came out on the 9th, obviously, it's been out since 2019, but it got released on eShop on the 9th.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it before. I never even heard of Pocket Pair until Power World came out.
Yeah. Which I guess that's most gaming companies that wound up making a big break. They usually have their one big game, and then everybody knows them from that point.
Yeah.
Which hardly ever do you ever strike it on your actual first game, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually take a couple tries.
Like, so, you got a few anomalies that are able to do it, but very rare.
I always thought that Power World was Pocket Pair's first game because I'd never heard of him before, but that's not the case.
Nope.
I could technically cover that one I was talking about earlier. I think I may do that because it makes sense because we was talking about it already. Halo Master Chief Collection and Flight Simulator supposedly coming to the Switch 2, whatever that wound up being called in PlayStation.
Well, first, I think there's rumor going around that that is the official name, but nobody knows for sure. But
what?
Some people say, yeah, the Switch 2 is the official name, but we don't know that for sure. Anyway, Halo, the Master Chief Collection, and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 are reportedly in the works for the PS5 and Nintendo Switch 2. The new versions of both games are said to be coming sometime in 2025. One insider believes way more first-party Xbox games are going to be multi-platform this year. Halo, the Master Chief Collection, may be coming to both consoles. The same source alleges that at least one more major Xbox franchise will soon be going multi-platform. Microsoft started a concentrated push to bring its first-party games to third-party consoles in February 2024. The first four Xbox games to get multi-platform, we talked about four. If you don't remember them, go find that episode. Yeah, well, that's it. So, those two games may be coming to PS5 and Switch 2. Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Master Chief Collection's been out since the beginning of the Xbox One, so that's an old game. And then Flight Simulator, 2024, I mean, a new one comes out every year pretty much, so. Not big heavy hitters, really. I mean, yeah, the Master Chief Collection has a bunch of good Halo games, but like I said, it's old. And Xbox has already pretty much said that they're not going to have any more exclusives. Maybe timed exclusives, but not any actual console exclusives anymore. So.
Yeah, and I think this is the transition to loop back into earlier, is where they're going to slowly start introducing Game Pass to the other consoles.
Right, and stop making consoles altogether.
That's it. I think they'll get their one handheld that everyone's been talking about, and they'll get one more home console, and then they'll be done.
That's what I think, too.
If the handheld isn't successful. If the handheld's successful, I can...
They may continue handhelds. But I think one more home console and that's it. Period. No matter what happens. If it sells well, if it doesn't, I think they're done. And most likely it won't sell well because Sony's going to have another console at that time too. And then Sony... I mean, Nintendo does their own thing anyway, so...
But yeah, I think if this rumor winds up being true, this will be the foothold for Xbox saying, okay, we're just going to go ahead and offer Game Pass on these other systems.
Which they have offered Game Pass onto the Switch a couple years ago. Nintendo turned it down, but they was going to do it, and then the profit margin that Microsoft was asking for, they couldn't agree on, so they just dropped it. So I think maybe on the Switch 2, they could get that profit margin to more agreeable, you know, thing. So,
or even that it's been a few years, they could easily offer them the same price they did a few years ago. With inflation, it's naturally a good deal now.
Yeah, that's true too.
Which I know both of them's always going to try to make the most profit as they possibly can.
Yeah,
but don't mean an offer is not going to be made at least.
Oh yeah, they'll offer, and I mean, we could see maybe Sony paying some love back to Xbox with their games being coming to PlayStation. Like, MLB The Show used to be an Xbox exclusive. Now it's on Switch and Xbox. And then also, not really towards Microsoft, but towards Nintendo, LEGO Horizon Adventures is on PlayStation and Switch. So Sony's doing a little bit more sharing, so I think it's not too far-fetched to say that All of the companies except for Nintendo might show some love to each other. So Microsoft and Xbox to Nintendo and to Sony and to Microsoft, but Nintendo's never going to share their games with anybody. Not even PC.
Nope.
Not a chance.
That's why people rip it offline.
That's right. That's why I play my Switch games on my PC. For better performance.
Yeah. Don't gotta worry about the frame drops.
Nope.
But that is all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you for watching and listening. Follow our socials on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Got merch on Redbubble, TeePublic, also on Discord. Also, like to do a special shout out to you guys. We finally hit 1 million views, well, / downloads as a podcast. We couldn't have done that without you guys.
Appreciate it. That's a lot. I never dreamed, you know, we'd hit that milestone, especially so quick, you know. So, definitely appreciate you guys. That's crazy. That's a lot of downloads.
Yes, it is. All right. Later, guys.
See you guys next week.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is Taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.